before the season even started, I knew Duvall was going to be back on our team somehow, some way. I just knew it.
Mike Trout might be one of the safest bets in history, to be honest.
As soon as that happened, it's like Gervonta Davis turned a switch and he went into kill mode. And
Terrence Crawford, there's an argument that he might be the most feared man in boxing right now. Not really seeing many names stepping up, calling him out.
If the MLB doesn't do something about it soon, we could potentially be looking at another, maybe like a mini steroid era scandal on the MLB.
Welcome to the All Takes No Whiffs podcast. Here are your hosts, Christian and Ahindi.
And welcome back to another baseball video for the All Takes No Whiffs podcast. We have another solid tier list coming up. We're going to be giving out our top 10 first basemen. Last week, we gave out our top 10 catchers going into the 2023 season. And this week, we'll be doing the first baseman. This is a little more star power on this list, so this will be a little more fun to talk about than last week.
Yeah, for sure. We got some big-time bats over here. Catcher. It was fun to talk about them, but you know, not many of them brought the pop like these guys. So looking forward to that. And another thing, some influence to my picks were how well they could pick the ball. That's a key first baseman thing. So let's get into it. I'm really excited to get into this first baseman list. Like I said, it's my favorite position, or one of my favorite positions at least. That's a tough choice. But my favorite player of all time, first baseman, Albert Pujols, legend. But to get things started, my number 10 first baseman, I have Christian Walker of the Arizona Diamondbacks. And he really just broke out last year, being second in all of first baseman for home runs. And he's somebody that wasn't on my radar necessarily beforehand, but somebody that's definitely exciting to look forward to. Because, you know, he clearly brings the pop, and he shares my name. I don't want to sound too biased right now, but
Spelled a little different.
You could say he's got the more traditional way, but, you know, it's something about the names.
No, I feel you, but I actually have Christian Walker at number 10 on my list, too. I really like what this guy did last year. He hit 36 homers and had 94 RBIs last year. Those are both career highs, and he had a career high in slugging percentage at 477. I know he's only been in the league for about 4 or 5 years, but that was only his second full season. He's been through some injuries and then was up and down his first 2 years. He was really in the big leagues, but he's had two full seasons, and in both of those seasons, he's really been really good. He's hit a lot of homers. He's hit over 60 homers and had over 160, or not 160, but over over 160 RBIs. But this dude's been really solid for a team that has been struggling since they have gotten rid of Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to fill those shoes, but you know, doing what he can, and he's performing, so got to give him credit for that for sure. But for my number 9 first baseman in the MLB, I've got a guy who's been solid, relatively solid the entire time since his come up, past couple of seasons especially. You got Nathaniel Lowe of the Texas Rangers. This is a guy who's not really, he's not young, but he's a guy who's at a stage of his career who can impact the team right now. And he's done that in this early stage of his career. And I really like his swing. Lefty bat, you know, the lefties tend to just be a little smooth with it. But yeah, this is a guy who definitely could creep up on this list, in my opinion. I don't know if he could break, you know, the top range, especially with not being able to have so much time to develop since he's already, what, 29?
27.
Yeah, already entering his prime or the standard of prime, I guess.
Yeah, this is a guy I actually really like. He's probably a guy I would give an honorable mention to. I thought about putting him on my list, to be honest, at first, but I think there's a couple guys that deserve to be over him. And the guy I have at number 9 is the Seattle Mariners first baseman, Ty France. Ty France had a really probably his best season last year. He hit 20 homers and 83 RBIs. He's not the biggest power guy. He's just like kind of Christian Walker too. He's only had two full MLB seasons, but he's been in the league for 4 years. But he's just had a really solid tenure the past 2 years. He did get traded from San Diego his rookie year to the Mariners. But he's just been solid. I know he had a little injury problem last year, but it was only one injury. But dude was an all-star last year, and I can see him maybe creeping up on this list. But one thing I would love to see from him is a little more power from him.
Yeah, for sure. Ty France is definitely a solid piece for Seattle. And I remember last season, a lot of people were saying he was snubbed of an all-star position, but I feel like injury had a big impact to that, but we could very well see him back in that position next season. Hopefully that's the case. Hopefully health is all good. But for my number 8 first baseman in the MLB, you know, gotta rip my team right here. I got Anthony Rizzo of the New York Yankees. Not a long tenure with us so far, but he's beloved by Yankees fans. I kind of feel like he was a reason Judge came back, and that might have been a factor. So I'm not complaining. I know he's getting older. I know that Rizzo has definitely held a higher position on this list in previous years, but it's all good. He's still producing, in my opinion. He had 32 home runs last year. Definitely took advantage of the short porch, and he's going to continue to do so. So I'm looking forward to that. As of right now, number 8, and I hope to see him be a little consistent, like produce and not have a big fall off.
No, yeah, and I love that Anthony Rizzo is on your list, because a lot of lists I was looking out there, Anthony Rizzo isn't even on there, and that's kind of mind-blowing to me, to be honest. This dude definitely is a top 10 first baseman, but I'll get to him in a little bit. At number 8, I have the Philadelphia Phillies first baseman, Rhys Hoskins. Rhys Hoskins, after looking at all of his stats, he's actually a lot better than I thought he was. I thought his average was actually a lot lower throughout his career. I thought he was like a career 220 guy. He's actually not. It's like a 240 something. He was actually up in a lot of his categories this past season. His slash line was 246, 332, and 462. If you don't know what slash line is, that's batting average, on base percentage, and slugging percentage. And those were all up across the board besides his slugging percentage. It was a little down, but I mean, a 30 home run season, that's still very good in MLB standards. But I'm not hoping, because he is a Philadelphia Philly, but I'm hoping that he can kind of keep this on track and maybe get that average up a little bit. Power may have to dip a little bit, but I don't know. He's not that type of guy who's probably going to do that.
Yeah, I don't know about the average going up, but where he produces, I definitely respect it. And honestly, for that reason, I have him at number 7 on my top 10. Big reason is because his postseason performance. I know the numbers don't necessarily stand out, but I feel like in key moments, he definitely has stepped up with some big time at bats, and it's the pop. I honestly love his swing. I love his swing. That's a big aspect to it as well. And I know Alex doesn't want to see him shine being on a rival team, but you know, I want to see him shine. I want to see the Braves comp, for your sake, be at its highest level, so the Braves could be at their highest level. And Rhys Hoskins, he definitely has room for improvement, like you said. I don't know about the average part, but I feel like a big aspect is he takes a lot of pitches. That's something I remember seeing. He takes a lot of pitches that are definitely in the zone, and he actually got away with a good amount of calls. So he could thank umpires for that, but something to keep in mind with what he can improve on. But as of right now, I got him at 7. Him in the playoffs, some of the home runs that he is, it's just that might be swaying me in his favor.
Yeah, I mean, I really don't see that average going up too high, but it would be nice to see it a little higher. But the power, what he did in the postseason last year, it was something special. But that's why I have him at number 8 on my list. And at number 7, I actually have who you have at number 8. I have Anthony Rizzo, first baseman for the New York Yankees. Now, this is just a guy who I have just absolutely loved throughout his entire career. Loved him when he was with Chicago, He came up with San Diego and then was traded his rookie year. He's just been super solid his entire career. He's had a gold glove before. He hit 32 home runs this past season, like Christian said. It's actually the fourth time he's done it. He can't get past 32 home runs for some reason. But and also, like Christian said, too, his average and a lot of things have started to dip, too. I mean, that's just part of getting older and everything. And also, it's part of more power, too. He's hitting more doubles than he did. And I think that short porch, like Christian said, in right field is very helpful for him and why he likes probably playing in New York, maybe the stadium, maybe not the atmosphere. But, yeah, Anthony Rizzo, super, super, super solid first baseman still right now, and that's why I have him at number 7.
I like that you mentioned the atmosphere of New York. I know it's definitely tough, but I feel like Rizzo's the kind of guy that he doesn't let that faze him
for
the
most part. He embraces everything.
Exactly. And for my number 6 first baseman in the MLB, this guy has been in headlines this offseason. Joining the reigning World Series champions, the Houston Astros, you got Jose Abreu, former Chicago White Sox. Man, that was an insane pickup for them because Jose Abreu has been insanely consistent, in my opinion, since he came up. Obviously, on the older side, since he's come up, he was an international signing from Cuba. Well, obviously, that whole situation's complicated with Cuba and getting.
It's better now. It's better now, though, at least.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. But with Jose Abreu, he came over and he was already on the older end, but he's been consistent ever since. Came through as a prime player for the most part. He's got an MVP under his belt, and I know it was a shortened season, but he did his thing. Got to give a little credit, I guess. But, yeah, this guy, adding him to Houston, I feel like that's going to be a boost as well to his performance, as having that much talent surrounding you in the lineup. So he could definitely creep up on this list of the top first baseman in the MLB. We've seen him as high as the best first baseman at one point. Obviously, shortened season again. But we know what he's capable of with the bat. He's consistent bat to ball. And he flashes power here and there. That's not what he's notable for, but yeah, I'm excited to see him on Houston this season for sure.
Oh yeah. And I will say something to that real quick. I actually don't think he was the best first baseman that year. I think the guy who won the MVP in the other league was, but he was on my team. So that might've been why.
He was definitely better. Freddie was definitely better.
But I have Jose Abreu at 6-2 and, he had a really solid year last year, to be honest. His numbers were up across the board, except for power-wise. He actually had his worst power year last year. He only hit 15 home runs, which is a career low, and that even includes that MVP season, shortened season, COVID year. He hit 19 in 60 games, and last year in like 150, he only hit 15. So his power has gone down a little bit, but that also was because he – didn't really need to do that much in that lineup last year with Chicago, and he definitely won't need to be have to do that much with this Houston lineup. But I mean, Jose Abreu has been a solid consistent hitter his entire career since he's been over here in the U.S. Defense, don't even want to talk about that because he's not even close to average at defense. But yeah, Jose Abreu is at number 6 for me.
Something I want to mention quick about him being in Houston. We're going to say it for Rizzo with the short porch and right. Houston's got a little bit of a short shortened left field, so that could potentially help him out. Maybe he could get break 20. That's kind of my standard for a guy that's like, if you got decent pop, you got at least 20 home runs. But for my number 5 first baseman in the MLB, Alex, big fan of this guy. This guy is definitely a homegrown talent, being a Georgia native and being the Atlanta Braves first baseman. You got Matt Olson at number 5. I'm just a fan of his all-around game. First base defense is definitely underrated, and I know he's taken a bit of a step back this past season, but you know, he's got one of the premier gloves there, and with the bat definitely brings the pop. That's something for sure. And solid gap to gap power. And, you know, he had a little bit of a making some noise with a doubles record, but that didn't come to fruition. But even then, nah, I'm just a big fan of him. I'm a fan of his swing. It's not like one of my favorite swings aesthetically, but it's like, it's interesting just the way he sets himself up and all that. But overall, he's been solid since he's come up in Oakland, and now he's been solid for the Braves. Hopefully he can have one of his better seasons this season, because I know you guys, being the 2021 champions, definitely want to make a stand and maybe take Houston down this year again. Just kidding, because you guys are going to be facing us. You guys are going to be facing us, Alex. But in all seriousness, Matt Olson, really, really solid first baseman. He is the start of the top five.
No, yeah, and we'll see about that. See if we're facing y'all. See if y'all can get past Houston first, and then we can talk.
Yeah.
No, but to continue the list, I have Matt Olson at number five too. Like Christian said, this is a local guy around us. But really, really was super excited when I saw that we were trading for him. I kind of honestly saw that when the rumors came about that we had talked to Oakland and we're maybe going to get him. I knew that Freddie was gone at that point. And getting a guy back like Matt Olson, I mean, it couldn't be a better replacement, to be honest. I did have a little regression last year across everything, but I just think that's because he had a really, really bad second half of the season, but picked it up in the playoffs, and that's all that really mattered, to be honest. Was really one of the only people who actually had a good postseason on the team, so kudos to him for that. But had 34 homers last year, 103 RBIs. I mean, that's still a solid year for him, even though his numbers were down a bit everywhere else. 34 homers is the second most in a season for him. Same thing with 103 RBIs. So I'm thinking maybe he can push that 40 this year. If he can stay healthy, he's got that short porch in right field, kind of like Freddie had. And I kind of think that's why Freddie's not hitting as many homers like he did last year in LA. So we'll see about that, but really like this guy, and like Christian said, that's the start of our top five.
Yeah, man. Matt Olson, I know it's tough after having Freddie there for so long, but he's a first baseman that's going to be good to look forward to for Braves fans for sure. My number four guy, this guy out of New York, and I guess you could say he's the best first baseman in New York. You got Pete Alonso, a big power guy. He broke out his first season with 53 home runs, breaking Judge's record from the season before, or the one before that. Regardless, rookie record. Though, yeah, breaking the rookie record. It was insane following it up that soon. But Pete Alonso has been relatively consistent since then, and you know, what he brings to the table is pop, and he does it really well. He had the average up a little bit this past season. That's something that's a positive for Mets fans. Something about Pete Alonso, though, I will say, he gets a bad rap, and I just feel like it's kind of like the way he carries. Doesn't. You don't think so?
Bro, he does this shit on purpose. He does it to himself. That shit at the home run derby, he was like, Zen, bro, come on. Yeah, it's a home run derby. It's not that serious.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you right there, to be honest. I wanted to go easy on it.
It's a Met player. I'm not gonna. Come on, you know me. You should too. You're a Yankees fan. That's across the street.
I guess. But I don't know. It's just
if there's one team we both hate, it's the Mets.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I feel like Pete got a lot of noise for that. Maybe it was deserved, but it was just more clownish than like something that was actually bad.
I know what you're saying.
He could definitely make his way up this list, holding the top spot. He's just got that sort of capability to have a season where he can have 50 plus home runs. And yeah, number four for me.
Yeah, I definitely see him. He's a top five first baseman. I'll get him to in a second. But at number four for me, I have Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Honestly, this is one of my favorite young players in all of baseball right now. Just favorite players in general. I loved his dad. I loved watching him growing up. we all know what he was for, those crazy outside pitches he could freaking hit. I remember him literally hitting a ball in the dirt for a double down the left field line, and I was like, this is crazy. But his son, a lot different player than him. He's a lot more compact. He's a lot more sturdy, a lot more power. But I like what I've seen from Vladdy his first few years. Last year was kind of a regression, but I mean, the year before he had was absolutely unreal, and the fact he didn't win an MVP is kind of crazy. But you got a guy named Shohei Ohtani who can play both ways, so kind of makes sense. But yeah, I got Vladdy at Vladdy Jr. at 4 right now, but I can definitely see this guy being in the top 3.
For sure, top 3. And when we're talking about long-term potential, I feel like he could potentially be best first baseman in the league. Yeah, best first baseman in the league for a long time, you know, once Freddie and Goldschmidt kind of hit that decline from age. But as of right now, I have Vladdy actually at my number 3 first baseman in the MLB. I just really like what I see from Vladdy as well. Like you said, Vladdy Jr. His 2021 season was insane. 48 home runs, just a really high average. And regression last year, 32 home runs. That's insane to me. And it's youth on his side. So he's definitely going to clean up. And I think he's going to have a crazy season this year. I'm going to call that. I'm going to call 40-plus home runs. I'm a big fan of him. I might be a little biased, Dominican, you know. But, yeah, number 3, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. for me.
Well, I can definitely see him having a really, really, really good season, because that team has made a lot of adjustments, made a lot of free agent signings, some trades. So he's the focal point of that team. He's going to be batting second or third, so he's going to have a lot of homers, a lot of RBI opportunities this year. But that's why, I mean, I had him at number 4. But for number 3 for me, I actually have who you have at 4. I have Pete Alonso of the New York Mets. I mean, Pete Alonso, I did not realize how consistent he's been his entire career. I know it's only been 4 or 5 seasons, but he's had one injury-riddled season. That was his second season after he broke the rookie record. But this dude's averaging like 30 homers and 100 RBIs a season when he's healthy. It's really crazy, to be honest. And I wouldn't be surprised if this dude pushes 50 homers this year. Last year, he kind of had more of a down year in the power. And like Christian said, his average was up. It was actually the best of his career at 271. But this is a guy who's going to be, I think, in the top 5 for a while. Definitely probably the top 3. So I know he's a New York Met, but this guy is really freaking good and can hit a baseball freaking country mile.
Yeah, for sure. Hopefully not against the Yankees in any sort of Subway Series if that happens. I doubt it. I doubt it, though. The Mets, then they don't get to that. They haven't in a while. We'll save that talk for later, though. But before we get into our top 2 first basemen in the MLB, some quick honorable mentions. My first honorable mention is Jared Walsh of the Los Angeles Angels. He is definitely a solid first baseman in my opinion, especially when he's on his game. Yeah, man. But you got Jared Walsh over there for the Angels. Hopefully he could be more of an impact. We want to see the Angels succeed, of course. And he definitely has that potential. He's got some crazy pop for sure. I definitely just needs to step up and against left-handed pitching. He is insanely bad against left-handed pitching, but you know, there's always room for improvement.
Oh no, I don't blame you. This is a guy I was actually looking maybe to put on my list, but I know that kind of had, I wouldn't say a regression last year, but his season one isn't as good as the year before. And dude went to UGA. Gotta love a guy who went to UGA. So I graduated from there myself. So gotta give respect where it's due. But an honorable mention for me is one of the funniest guys in the MLB, and I'm hoping this guy can get a little back on track. But Joey Votto, Cincinnati Reds first baseman. Now, I know he's probably on the tail end of his career, but I really wish this guy would have asked for a trade to get somewhere else, because they've kind of just wasted his talent in Cincinnati. But this dude's taking a new approach to his game now, and he's a power guy now. He's not that contact guy he was anymore, but that's my first honorable mention.
Yeah, Joey Votto, Reds legend, no doubt. Just a legend of our generation, to be honest with you. Super consistent, one of the faces of consistency, to be honest. I know he's fallen off due to age this past season, but the season before that, that was a crazy season from Votto. I was glad to see that. And who knows, if he could have something like that, he could creep his way on this list again. But for my second honorable mention, I've got CJ Crone of the Colorado Rockies. This guy, he's not been a standout name. Like, his name has been floating around when it comes to power numbers, but not a standout first baseman when it comes to just the how much attention he's given. But he's been really solid for some time now. I know last year wasn't one of his best seasons, but we know what he brings to the table. And he could definitely be one of those guys hovering close to 40 home runs this season coming up. I'm looking forward to seeing if he's on that type of time.
Oh, yeah. He had a super hot start to the year last year. Wish he would have sustained it the whole year to see if he could have reached maybe 40 homers, but he kind of fell off hard. But another honorable mention for me is Josh Bell. He signed a deal with the Cleveland Guardians this offseason. Last year was not his best year at all. Actually, was one of his worst years before he got traded. And the year before, he was actually an all-star. So hopefully he can get back to that form on a team that is actually pretty good and pretty young. So those are our honorable mentions.
Yeah, but our top two first basemen in the MLB. I know it's going to be a little controversial to some people. My number two first baseman in the MLB, I have Freddie Freeman of the Los Angeles Dodgers, Braves legend. Freddie, he could very easily be first place. But he could very easily be first place for me on another day. I just happened to wake up on the side that has somebody else as my number one. But for Freddie Freeman, I love the dude. Ever since he's broke out in this league, he's just been one of the premier bats, one of the premier gloves in that position. I know he is a capable third baseman. I don't know about now, but I know at some point he was. So I guess that makes it – what was that?
Kind of.
Yeah, capable, like serviceable. So if you're a serviceable third baseman, I feel like you could be a solid first baseman, like a really good first baseman. A lot harder on that side.
Mm-hmm.
But Freddie, you know, we know about Freddie. That's a Hall of Famer for sure. And yeah, like I said, I could have him at number one on another day. It just, today's not the day.
Yeah, and I don't blame you. It's more like 1A, 1B. I don't think it's really 1 and 2. But I think these two guys are clear-cut above the other guys, because all around, they're good offensively, defensively, and base running. That's the thing, too. They're both of these guys who we have at 1 and 2 are really good base runners. And first basemen usually aren't good base runners. But number two for me, I actually have the guy who won the NL MVP last year. I have Paul Goldschmidt, first baseman for the St. Louis Cardinals. This dude had a career year, shattered about every single one of his career highs last year. His slash line was .317, .404, and .578. And that .578 is actually 51 points higher than his career average, and which is actually insane. He hit 35 home runs, his second most in his career. He's hit 36 a couple times, and he had 115 RBI. I mean, dude is just absolutely had a career year last year, and I can see him doing it again this year. Dude's been one of the best first basemen in all of baseball since he's been called up. And like I said, he has some good speed on the base path too. He doesn't steal as many bases as he does when he first got called up, but he still can swipe a bag here and there.
Paul Goldschmidt, that guy, there's you kind of hit it on the nose with what there is to say about him. A couple other things is the way he played last season. Paul Goldschmidt, when it comes to a player being hot, there's nothing like it, and that's why I have him at number one. Paul Goldschmidt, reigning MVP. The only reason I kind of gave him the slight edge in this top 10 list right here in front of Freddie Freeman is because last season, Paul Goldschmidt was the better of the two, for sure. Even though Freddie's track record is better, for sure, Paul Goldschmidt has a strong enough resume that I feel like I just got to give him the nod for this list right here. Freddie could definitely flip that around like in about a week into the season if he's on some on his usual self and say Paul Goldschmidt's not. It's that close, like Alex said, 1A, 1B. But right now, Paul Goldschmidt for me.
And I will make the argument on why I think Freddie Freeman is the best first baseman in all of baseball, because I have him at number one. Still love the dude, even though he's not with us still. I know he wishes he still was, and he should be, to be honest, but that's a story for another day. But Freddie absolutely blew out some of the numbers that he his career numbers. He had his best batting, not his best batting average, actually. His best batting average was the year he won MVP at 341. But other than that, this was his best batting average from that COVID year. He batted 325. He had an OBP of 407, which isn't his best. But the slugging was 511. That's the one kind of thing that kind of concerned me. His slugging was about average. But I think that's because he doesn't have that short porch out there in right field anymore. It's a little different of an atmosphere out there in LA than it is here in Atlanta. But, I mean, Freddie Freeman has been one of the best first basemen in baseball for as long as I can remember. He's going to be number one on my list for a while, and I definitely can see why Paul Goldschmidt is number one on yours. Dude had an absolute unreal season last year, and looking at all of his stats before we made this video, definitely has a compelling case to be number one. His dude's hit 30 home runs, I think, five or six times. I think Freddie's only done it maybe three times, if I can remember right.
Yeah, regardless, though, I feel like you're not making the wrong pick, whoever you go with when it comes to those two.
My opinion's never wrong.
No, no, not you specifically, just in general. Like whoever, anybody who's got to make this choice right here, if you're going with Paul Goldschmidt and Freddie, you're not wrong. If you're going with anybody else outside of those two, you kind of are wrong. Sorry. But who knows? Maybe in 2023, somebody can break into this list. And, yeah, we just got some time to look forward to until the season. And I'm looking forward to seeing Vladimir Guerrero Jr. being number one. Hot take.
And that does it for another baseball video for the All Takes No Whist podcast. We had a great time coming up with our top 10 first basemen. This was actually a pretty difficult list to come up with. There's people we were taking in and out, swapping places, but had a really good time coming up with this. And if y'all want, let us know down in the comment section who you think your top first baseman is and if anyone should be on this list. But before we get out of here, make sure you like, make sure you subscribe, and make sure you turn on notifications to know when we post new content if you enjoyed what you saw.
And also, if you guys want to give any input, if you feel like anybody should be higher or lower on this list, you could also let us know on our social media pages. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook, all at ATNW Podcast. And if you guys want, you could find my personal Instagram or Twitter at Christian_S52. I'm inviting all the smoke, hot takes over here. Let me know.
And I'm doing the same thing at my Twitter and Instagram and everything at AND2215, except for free you Padres fans. Stay out of my DMs.
Yeah. And no, keep it friendly. Keep it friendly. You know, we're just looking for some quality discourse with some quality minds.
Facts.
Like the sport. Padres fans, I'm talking to you. Now I'm playing. Until next time, though, guys. Peace.
Peace.